With retailers raising their prices and pull rates coming way down, is it turning off new collectors to the hobby? And did the Pokemon Company really mess up Radiant Pokemon? Let's talk about it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Gym Leaders Podcast, where we talk all things Pokemon TCG. I am Travis with TCG Funhouse here with my boy.
I am ASX from ASX TCG, and it's going to be a spicy one today. Talking some Radiant Pokemon, talking some restocks in that. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a very opinionated episode. So if you're somebody who is allergic to opinions that may differ than yours, you may want to go ahead and just stop listening, because I don't feel like upsetting that many people today. Just kidding. I normally do. I always do. But before we get
in, there's always somebody down there in the
comments. Absolutely. Oh, gee, don't even get me started. It's not the episode for that. Don't even get me started. But yeah, man. But before we get started, bro, how was your week, man? How you doing? It's been 7 days since we chatted last.
Yeah. It's been some time. Got some things in the works. Some big news coming to my channel here soon. So kind of figuring out how I'm going to roll that out. But some good things, some positive things are coming, and I'm excited for the future here on YouTube. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we might as well let some of the cat out the bag, to be honest with you, because we're looking at next week when there's going to be some big changes between everything. So we're just going to go ahead and lay it out there for you guys before we start talking into the Pokemon chitter chatter. Might as well formally announce that ASX is going to be officially joining TCG Funhouse YouTube channel. It's a big change. I know he's been on the podcast and I've been a little bit light on videos. So you might go, well, I thought he already has been, because for the past like 2-3 weeks, every video that I put up that wasn't a live stream included ASX and the Gym Leaders podcast anyway. But we are making it official that TCG Funhouse is going to be a two-man band. And who knows, maybe in the future we might even expand it even farther if everything continues to go well and continues to grow. If you want to go ahead and tell them your side of it, go ahead and drop that. We can be doing with your channel or whatever, and then we can get into a little bit of the deets on what we have coming on the TCG Funhouse channel.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to have, at least one more video on my channel, just kind of announcing, the switch over. I'm sure most people that watch my channel watch this channel as well. So I'm sure it's not going to be that big of a change for most. But going to have at least maybe one more opening just to kind of close things out. Maybe look at some of the biggest polls I had, throughout my channel's history. I'm looking. I got my box right here. I keep looking off screen. I got my my trusty Burning Shadows ETB box.
Ooh,
that I keep all the.
I don't like those older boxes.
I don't know. I do. I kind of do. It's just a little bit more simple. Yeah, it's just nice and square. It doesn't got all the angles.
I don't
and
know.
Stuff
like the way. It. And this green screen is always tripping me out with stuff. I like the styles and the angles and stuff like that. The big ones, they feel a little clunkier. Those old Son of My Wounds feel a little clunkier, but I get
you. I'll give you a little sneak peek here. So this is my box, and it is packed.
Ooh,
so this could be a full-on video.
That's a tease.
Some big hits, showing those off. So, something like that is coming here. And then, I'm going to have some unboxings here on TCG Funhouse. So it's going to be super exciting.
Yes.
I'm going to be doing, it sounds like, a lot of the editing here on the channel as well. So I hope my editing is up to par with what everybody's used to here. I know it will be. I'll make it look as good as I possibly can, and probably even a little bit better here on the channel. So it's gonna be good. I'm excited to see where this is going to go. And I hope you guys are just as excited as I am.
Yeah, I know that I am extraordinarily excited, bro. I really much appreciate you coming aboard, because I'm just gonna be as real as possible for a minute with you guys. Okay, yeah. we're just gonna get real. you guys know that if you're a subscriber of my channel, that I have been not posting nearly as many videos. So for just under 3 years, I was posting 3 videos a week for the entire time. And I think I maybe missed like 2 or 3 uploads for 3 years. Talk about consistency. And just probably about June, you know, I decided to take a step back. You know, I consider TCG Funhouse a pretty decent success. You know, it's not one of those channels that has exploded. It's definitely a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and hard work over the past 3 years of getting it to where it is. And I do think we're right on the cusp of making it actually something special. But what I had noticed, and I've mentioned this before, guys, it was just consuming too much of my time. It was consuming too much of my life, my emotions, just everything, my brain, my knowledge, just everything was poured into this channel on top of my regular job and my family, being a dad, being a husband, all that stuff. So I decided to take a step back. It was not easy for me to basically throw 3 years of work out the door. That's weird. I think window is the term. Throw it out the window. We'll go with that.
Out the door. You can throw things out the door.
You can. You can. Yeah. I might do both. But so basically ASX, you know, and I don't want to speak for you, but you kind of started to get into the same thought process after a good solid amount of time uploading videos.
Yeah.
You know, you were having kind of a burnout, you know, as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, I definitely had nowhere near the consistency you did or the amount of content you did, but you're just trying to keep up, you know, with everything on my own, you know, it's tough. You know, so I think, you know, being able to team up here and kind of motivate each other to keep pushing and keep this content up, I think is going to, you know, really help us both too.
Yeah. So what we decided to do is we decided to put 2 channels into one, basically, right? We're using TCG Funhouse in terms of time and effort that we're going to be putting in the channel. We're basically slicing it in half and running one channel together as opposed to giving everything we have to individual channels. I mean, 2 heads are better than one. You know, 2 minds are better than one. 2 people doing the amount of work is going to be better than one. And that's really what I'm looking forward to. ASX is my, you know, closest friend in the Pokemon community. He joined up with the Gym Leaders podcast. He was part of Team Next Phase when that failed experiment happened. That was brutal. That was brutal. Tell me what, man.
Go check that one out.
Don't go check that one out. How about that? But yeah, so it was just too hard for me to just let everything go, and we're coming back full force, and not only are we going to be pumping 3 videos a week here on TCG Funhouse, but you're actually going to be looking more into like 5 videos a week, maybe even with some shorts mixed in. You may get content every single day here on TCG Funhouse if you're including shorts and stuff like that. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of work, but this is our push. This is our push. We're giving this like a 60-90-day push, and if we get the, you know, the numbers and the success that we think that we are going to get and we are capable of getting, sky's the limit with TCG Funhouse as a 2-man band. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun, guys.
Me too, man.
A lot of fun, a lot of fun. And if you're new, drop a sub so that way you don't miss it. You know what I mean? And if you unsubbed because I quit posting regular videos, come back and subscribe again because we are going to be hitting the ground running with, gosh, it's going to be starting next week, guys. Starting Monday next week. What is that? 9-5. Starting Monday next week, 9-5.
Labor Day.
There's going to be a video up on this channel every single week. Top fives are coming back. Undervalued cards are coming back. ASX's unboxings are coming over to this channel. Gym Leaders Podcast is going to be there. And we're going back to talk about investing in business videos again as well. So if that's what you're here for, drop a sub, guys. But anyway, let's go ahead and dive right into today's topic, guys. First, I want to talk about the Radiant Pokemon. I was extraordinarily excited when I saw the announcement of these Radiant Pokemon cards when that first leaked Greninja and that leaked Hawlucha happened. I think Heatran took a while to come out. I don't know why. But when those first two came out, it was amazing. It was like, okay, these are going to be awesome chase cards. And before I give my opinion on it, ASX, I want to know kind of like where you landed on, like, just let's take a look at Brilliant Stars, Astral Radiance, and the upcoming Lost Origins, which is this week, actually, so happy release week. What are your initial thoughts on this?
Yeah, so I was excited about them as well. I think kind of what got me most excited was, honestly, the Greninja, and seeing its artwork and everything. I just thought it looked really, really nice. But then, you know, we kind of got to see more of them and more of them as different sets came out, and it just wasn't, it was a bit lackluster, yeah. It felt like, especially when it came to the artwork and really what I think these, you know, could have been. A lot of what we're seeing is very, like, you know, basic style artworks, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? But I'm the type of person that, you know, that Greninja, absolutely beautiful card. So if they could have done something like that with more of them, I think they would have been a little bit more of a success. And then you get into the whole side of, you know, playability with these cards. And there was a huge, you know, hope that these were going to be, you know, pretty big game changers in the actual game. You know, you're only able to put one of these, one Radiant Pokemon in your whole deck. You know, so you can't have Radiant, so wild, Charizard, man. Greninja, and Blastoise or Venusaur, all those. You can only have one. So it was thought that this was going to be like a game-changing card. Have game-changing abilities in that, and a couple of them do, but the greater majority of them do not really, which is really unfortunate because they could have been, you know, really big game-changing cards.
Now, well, I mean, were any of these cards in? I mean, Worlds just happened. Were any of these cards in any of the major decks played at Worlds?
Yes, yeah, there were. So I took a look at it. I took a look at like the top 30 decks. And there were two Radiant Pokemon in the top 30 decks that were used.
Okay.
The most used by far was the Radiant Greninja. Mm-hmm. Second most used, and I think it only came up maybe two or three times in the top 30, was the Radiant Charizard. Not a single other of the Radiant Pokemon that we currently have in English. There's a few more that are going to be coming out here in the next couple sets, yep. But not a single other one had been used in any of the top 30 decks. Now, after that, I don't know. I'm sure there's probably some other ones. But yeah, you know, Radiant Greninja by far. I think I didn't count the exact number, but I think it was roughly around half. So around, I would say maybe 12 to 15 decks actually had a Radiant Greninja in it because of its ability, allowing you to discard one water energy and take two cards out of your draw two cards from your deck. Super awesome ability. Allows you to just keep the game moving really, really well. So yeah, that was about half the decks. None of the top three used a Radiant card at all.
So even if they are being in the decks, they're kind of like supporter cards, right? Because I mean, obviously, you're not going to build a deck around one card, you know. So
yeah,
I mean, there ability is supporter
a Radiant Charizard deck, kind of, but it's a difficult one to play, from what I've seen.
Hard to get
and
out of the
it
field.
Was maybe like. Yeah, and it was like maybe it got maybe like 25th or so.
Okay.
You know, out of everybody. So not terrible.
I would have done so much better.
Yeah, you're right. There's there's no there's really no viable decks that are built around these cards because you can only have one of them. Again, yeah. You know, it's not like your other V-Maxes, V-Stars where you can have up to four copies. So yeah, it's kind of sad to see that. I mean, these just really aren't getting any play aside from the two.
Yeah. So
right now,
like you were saying, there are some more Radiant cards coming. So this Friday, Lost Origins is dropping. We're going to get three more Radiant Pokemon cards, right? What are those three, ASX? What are those three?
Yeah, we are looking at Radiant Gardevoir, which actually looks pretty
pack
cool.
Art.
I like that
it's
one.
A pack art. That'll be the best Radiant for that set, I think.
I think so as well. And then we're looking at Radiant Hisuian Sneasler, which the Pokemon company loves Hisuian Sneasler.
Don't know why.
I don't know why.
Strangest looking little thing.
Got a Radiant. And then we're actually looking at Radiant Steelix, which is pretty cool as well because he's gold. So that's pretty awesome to see.
Radiant Steelix is definitely a good artwork for sure. You know, and the Radiant Gardevoir is, you know, I can almost guarantee you is going to be the Radiant Chase of the set. And then we have Silver Tempest coming out later in the year, which also has three Radiant cards associated with it. I know there's the amazing looking Radiant Alakazam, which is going to be probably my favorite Radiant card at the end of the day. Radiant Jirachi and a Radiant Serena.
That's correct.
And those Jirachi's pretty cool. I mean, Shiny Jirachi is extraordinarily hard to get, like in the video games and stuff like that. So that's an awesome thing. I don't really like his color scheme. It just turns like a little orange. I'm not a big orange guy, but you know what? Jirachi deserves the love for sure. But now that you've talked about a little bit of the viability and the playing side of things, let's talk about the collectors real quick here. we all know that shiny Pokemon is, gosh, it's almost the end-all be-all of Pokemon video games, right? You have to, you know, you got to become the champion to, you know, let the credits roll and stuff like that. And your hardest battle is always the champion, and you got to beat him to take over, and then that's supposedly the end of the game. But anybody who's played Pokemon past defeating the champion knows that pretty much the only thing that you can do afterwards is, one, fill out your Pokedex, and two, hunt for some shiny Pokemon. And that's literally it, guys. Yes, there's a competitive scene for VGC and all that stuff, but that's like super duper hardcore. And guess what? Almost all those people want shiny Pokemon anyway as well. They want perfect IV shinies because they want to flex. They want to flex on you.
You got to flex hard with your shinies.
That's right. So, and then even in the Pokemon TCG, shiny Pokemon has always been a very sought after type genre of card, right? Starting with the gold stars that we got back in the day, and Neo getting the shining Pokemon. You know, they were all the most expensive cards for the sets were the shining Pokemon, were the gold star Pokemon. And then they gave us subsets featuring these shiny Pokemon that were huge. Probably the best sets ever, like Hidden Fates, right? Hidden Fates is considered, to this day, the best modern set ever released. I still think it's better than Evolving Skies. It's just such better to open. It's way more fun to open. Evolving Skies is a drag, and we will talk about that a little bit later in today's episode. And then Shining Legends was a very, very fun set. Shining Fates was a very, very fun set until they printed it to the floor. We're going to talk about that later in today's episode as well. And it's just the fact that they now have taken the shiny Pokemon and threw it on cards that you can get for 25 cents in terms of the Hawlucha and the Heatran. It's just, it's so sad to me. It's so sad to me. You know, like, did you ever think that we would have a shiny Blastoise card that you can buy for $7? A shiny Venusaur card that you can buy for $6?
Not that low. I will say.
Shiny Eevee for $3?
Right. That's a good looking Eevee card, too.
Yeah.
I would say, like, I didn't expect them to be this low, for sure, because they were going to, you know, shiny, hopefully a little bit harder to pull, which really didn't turn out to be true.
Yep.
But after seeing what happened with Celebrations and how just crazy fast those prices tanked on like that Blastoise, that Venusaur, that Charizard.
There's over 200 of the starters on TCG Player right now. Over 200. Yeah. That's insane. Rating. Yeah, of Charizard, Blastoise, and Venusaur each. 200 each.
Wow.
There's over 400 Heatran and Hawlucha. That's how common these cards are.
Yeah, super, super common. You know, that's another thing that I think is really working against them. But yeah, I mean, it sucks. It's sad to see when that happens to the shinies, because like you said, in the video games, it is completely different. Like, those are so hard to find. Those are like our alternate arts, basically. Yeah. So
were you around for Vivid Voltage?
Heck yeah, it was.
Yeah, so before Vivid Voltage, I don't remember the name of the Legendary Heartbeat. So when Legendary Heartbeat came out in Japan and introduced the Amazing Rare, and then come to find out that we were getting the Amazing Rares inside Vivid Voltage, it was a special time, right? People were chasing those Amazing Rares from the Legendary Heartbeat set like crazy. And when those cards first started to come out in the Vivid Voltage set, and they were hot and they were popping and people wanted them, it was a different type of card. It was a card that we had like never seen before in the Pokemon TCG. It was so different. The holo pattern was so different. The color blast was amazing. The etching, the etch holographics at the bottom and the numbers and the rarity symbol. Absolutely awesome stuff. And then they printed those to the floor and made them extraordinarily common, right? It's basically the exact same thing they did with these Radiants. So these Radiants filled the void of the Amazing Rare. And this is by far my least favorite, like, section of cards that Pokemon prints. You got your commons, uncommons, rares, holo rares, reverse holos, Vs, Vmaxes, full arts, rainbows, golds. Like, just listen to me. List all the shit off. It's insane. Alternate Arts, V Alternate Arts, VMAX Alternate Arts, Trainer Gallery V, Trainer Gallery VMAX. There's so much of it. Black Star Promo, right? All these different types of cards. Is there a more lost card than this like special type of card, like the Radiant and the Amazing Rare, that just never get, what's the point? What's the point?
Yeah, it really does feel like that. I mean, they're like pretty much just a throw-in card, you know? Like, we just need to fill a couple extra spots, you know? Let's throw a couple Radiants in there.
It's definitely what it feels like. I know that they
make the full rate crazy.
They did the Charizard, the Blastoise, and Venusaur as hype beast, right? They were like, oh, guys, we're giving you a Pokemon Go set, and we're going to put a shiny Charizard, a shiny Blastoise, and a shiny Venusaur inside. Oh, right? Like, that may have been inappropriate. I apologize if you're watching. But it's just
going to have to mark this one explicit.
But it's insane to me. And it's just like, okay, cool. You hype beasted the hell out of them and then made them common as hell. And the Amazing Rares, it's just wasted. Ancient Trait. Do you remember Ancient Trait at the end of X and Y? With the really cool, like almost like half full arts. And then some of them are holographic. The Dragonite, like just amazing looking cards. A lot of people don't know this. They printed shiny Pokemon in Steam Siege. Did you know that?
Yeah, those were like
the half cards.
Right?
Yeah, the dual typing cards were shiny variants, but none of them were even holographic. I don't think a single one of them were holographic. They're all regular rares, and you can get them all right now for like 5 cents.
Yeah,
and then it's just like, I don't know, man. It's just they need to treat certain things with more respect, right? And this is coming from a fanboy, you know, so sue me. As opposed to somebody who works for Pokemon. Like, you know, how are you going to tell me what to do? I work, right? I invented Pokemon. But, like, shiny Pokemon hold a very, 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 very special spot inside a lot of Pokemon fans' hearts. And just to throw them out here like this is absolutely bothersome. So, if they go into Generation 9, the one thing that I would love to see them get rid of is this just nonsensical, doesn't matter little type of card, like the Radiant, the Amazing Rare, the Ancient Trait, just get rid of them.
Yeah, it definitely would be nice to have a little bit of a purge in terms of different rarities and that, because just listening to you like list off all those, it's like you don't really realize like there literally is that many different rarities until you see it or you hear it like that, and it's like, geez, they could definitely stand to cut some of that out.
I agree. Because I definitely think they're getting into this realm of excuse me, that's the one I couldn't dump off. Jeez. We're getting into this realm of they're just giving us way too many cards in a set, and so opening Brilliant Stars and Astral Radiance feels better than opening Sword and Shield and Rebel Clash, right? Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree, yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's really not in terms... I know everything's not about money, right? But it's really not in terms of valuations of the cards. It's really not.
Yeah,
so, like, how far are we going to take all these additional types of rarities? And they really need to almost, like, hit the reset button on it. Like, let's simplify it back a little bit more. I think they're testing the waters. They're trying to go like that Magic the Gathering route, you know, by creating these collector's items like the Celebrations UPC and the Charizard UPC and these like these really cool looking cards like, you know, the Charizard Radiant and the Radiant Greninja and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, they really don't mean that much. They really don't, in my opinion. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, it's clear when it comes to like the pricing of them. And I don't know. You know, how do you make people care about them more? I guess my answer would be like you have to make them more viable in the game. Once they're more viable in the game and you can play them, like that's, I feel like, is a big driver to making these cards more popular. And they just didn't really do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I agree with almost, you. I definitely agree with you.
You know, went the opposite way.
I think making them playable is very important. Really important. I agree. So like, you know, since we're the type of people, yes, we bring up questions. Yes, we point out faults of the Pokemon company, but we always offer like, oh, this is what we would do. We would always offer our opinion. Which a lot of people don't, because we're not just crybabies, even though a lot of you guys in the comment section like to go, you guys are just crying about things. You're just whining. You just don't get it. You just don't get Pokemon, okay? Right. Just stop making content. You sound like you got here like 3 days ago. Yeah. So, whatever. Keep your troll comments to yourself. Put them down there. I don't give a shit. But this is what I would do, okay? You take these Radiant Pokemon. So, I would stop creating these subsets. Shiny Vault is fantastic. It was really, really cool. But I would just slowly incorporate shiny Pokemon as a type of rarity. Why would you not just make it a type of rarity in itself? Yeah. If you're going to create Radiant Pokemon or Shining Pokemon, just do what you did back in Neo. Just do what you did back with the Gold Star cards. Just make them the rarest, most collectible cards of the set. And not only that, you can even reuse the same asset and just change the coloration and the texture on the card, right? I love on these Radiant cards that the Pokemon itself is textured, just like it was in Shining Legends, right? Keep that. So this is what I would do. This is my proposed resolution, which no one's going to hear it. No one's going to give a shit. Pokemon's not ever going to do it, right? But if you do, I'm suing. But this is what I would do. You take your best holo rares in the set, right? You got to give some of the best Pokemon regular holo rares, right? Blastoise holo rare, Venusaur holo rare, Charizard holo rare, right? Just, you got to, right? And you make the exact same artwork, but you make it shiny. You change the color. You change the texture. Give it a different border, you know? Give it a gold border, just like you used to back in the days in the EX Megas and stuff like that. Give it that shiny gold border instead of just yellow. And just make it significantly more rare. Almost as if you found that shiny Pokemon in the game. Like, they're overcomplicating it. You don't need a subset of shiny Pokemon. You don't need, you know, a little subset within a set of these Radiants and stuff like that. Or not, I keep saying subset for the first one, but I guess it would be like a special set is what they call it. Hidden Fates, Shining Fates, special set. You don't need that. It's cool, but you don't need it. People are going to buy Pokemon cards anyway. So just make them more rare. And then every single set has 5 or 6 shiny Pokemon that you can pull that are the regular holographics and maybe even 1 or 2 full arts and make them instead of, like, you know how, like, the gold ones are shiny Pokemon? Gold Snorlax is technically shiny Snorlax. Like, do the same thing, but, like, just take the gold out of it and do the front texture, make it shiny, and just make it a gold border instead of just, I don't know, man. This is just spitballing here, but I feel like it's a much better idea than wasting shiny Pokemon like this.
No, I like that. Almost to where, you know, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm going down the wrong path here, but
you're wrong.
You know, there's already things that we expect, you know, to see in every Pokemon set, right? You're like, we're always going to see holos. We're always going to see your V's, your EX card or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, whatever the Ultra Rare is.
EX. You know, EX, so if we did back.
Have. Yeah. So if we, you know, if we did have, you know, kind of that expectation, like, oh, you know, there's going to be 4 or 5 shinies, you know, in this set to chase, I think that would be kind of cool. I guess where my question is then is, you know, I guess I'm trying to understand, how is that differing from, like, the Radiant cards? Is because, like, the Radiant cards are a totally different artwork? And
no, because they're in, like, all over the place. Spot. Because there's over 400 Hawluchas over on TCG Player and over 200 Radiant Blastoises. They're just too common. The Radiant cards were a fantastic idea if you didn't get 1 in every 10 packs that you opened up. If you didn't get 3 in every single booster box that you had. They're handing them out like candy. Like, it's just not happening. And I guess, okay, so they do that in Pokemon Go. I said do. So sue me. But yeah, so one of the reasons why I don't play Pokemon Go anymore is because of the way they treated shiny Pokemon in that game. You know, you can spend a decade of your life playing the original games on your Game Boy, on your DS, hunting shiny Pokemon, and out of a decade, maybe end up with a couple dozen, you know, of legitimate shiny Pokemon. And then you can get, like, that in one community day. For Pokemon Go. Like, who cares if you have a shiny Gengar if you caught 18 shiny Gastly on Community Day and you can just transfer them over to your Pokemon home? Ruined it.
Yeah.
absolutely ruined it.
See, I didn't realize that you could do that. Mm-hmm. So, because I don't play a lot of the Pokemon video games, but you could literally take Pokemon from Pokemon Go and transfer them into like Pokemon Sword and Shield, Scarlet and Violet, all that stuff.
Yep.
That totally changes.
They didn't say anything about Scarlet and Violet yet, so I don't know. But you can absolutely bring them. So
an assumption.
So the connectivity is the Let's Go games. Because just like Pokemon, they got to get their money's worth, right? So how do they do that? You play Pokemon Go, and then you want to play the other ones. Now you got to buy Let's Go Pikachu. So you got to use Let's Go Pikachu as a pathway. So what you do is you transfer your shiny Pokemon from Pokemon Go to Let's Go Pikachu or Eevee. You go and catch them in Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, and then you bring them over to Pokemon Home, where then you can then move them up to Pokemon Sword and Shield. And now you have, and now you have seven shiny Mewtwo's. Because you were able to run around during raid hour, special raid hour 5 years ago and get all those Mewtwo's. It's just too much for me.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like it almost even defeats the purpose of shiny hunting in the video game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the actual game themselves.
By far the easiest way to get shiny Pokemon today is to play Pokemon Go. This is the easiest way, period. No matter what. But anyway, I digress. That's what I would like to see. Simplify some stuff, get rid of all those different types of rarities, and if you want to have shiny Pokemon in the TCG, just make them extraordinarily rare, make them the chase cards, and put some in every single set. Bottom line.
Yeah, I think that's the key to it. Making it, you know, a way more rare, because what we have right now, it's not working.
You mean a $2.70 shiny Greninja is not up your alley?
I mean, it's really playable, so yeah, I'd buy a couple to throw in some decks.
And I agree with you. You said something earlier, and I didn't mention it, but I completely agree with you. They put so much work into that Radiant Greninja, and then just shat over the rest of the backgrounds. Not even close. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. It's like, just looks like generic backgrounds you could find, like, you know.
In my thumbnails?
In your...
It's what it is. You go to Google, you type in multicolored Radiant background. Multicolored gradient background. Colorful background.
Yep.
I guarantee you I could probably find that exact one that's in that freaking Charizard card. That's the way it looks anyway. Sure. But anyway, if you guys notice, I'm drinking a Prime here. And you can't see it. I can disappear for a second because I'm drinking the green one. It's because I'm so smart and I thought about it beforehand. But basically, this is me saying, you know, you're not going to get anything. It's going to go clear until I get a sponsorship over at TCG Funhouse.
There you go. Oh, that's awesome.
Unintentional troll.
That looks pretty cool.
So let's move on, guys. Let us know down in the comment section. What do you think about the Radiant Pokemon? And, you know, lump Amazing Rares in there, too, because I thought that was going to be a huge boom and huge boost for Pokemon TCG, and it was shat. It was nothing. Yeah. So definitely that little... okay, I'm over. I've trolled it. Restocks, man. Restocks, prices, pull rates. We're going to get into a pretty in-depth conversation about the topic at hand there. And I'm trying not to be negative here, but I'm really just kind of giving you guys my thought process when it comes to this sort of thing. So to bring some sunshine to the room, we're going to get ASX's thoughts about it first. So how do you feel about the restocks, about places like Walmart and Target increasing their prices by 10%, 15%, and really just the pull rates being absolutely atrocious, specifically for like this last print wave we got of Evolving Skies and the last print wave we got of Fusion Strike. They're almost not even worth opening up at this point. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, putting the pressure on me to bring sunshine to
rainbows
that, to all that right there. But yeah, I mean,
I did kind of just set you up, didn't I?
There's a good and a bad side to it, right? You know, obvious good side is there's a lot more stock out there. It's for most of us out there. I'm not going to speak for everybody because I know there's people out there that may still be struggling to find some product in, you know, in their local stores. But from what I've seen and from what I've heard from the majority is stock is up. You know, you're not really walking into Walmart and Target and, you know, not able to find a single pack of Pokemon cards anymore like it was a couple years ago, or even last year. You know, we were still having some issues with stock in that. last year as well. And I know it's really not like that anymore. You know, I know I've been able to go in, you know, I've even seen more displays in my stores that I've not even seen before, mm-hmm. you know, like that the distributors are coming and putting out like the Pokemon Go tins.
Yep.
First time I've ever seen a display in my Walmart was those Pokemon Go tins. So, you know, things like that are happening as well, which I didn't see anything like that, you know, back when it was really rough and you couldn't find anything. So that's the good news. We're seeing more of it out there. But I think that good news kind of gets overtaken when you just brought it up. You know, when you look at the pull rates of some of these sets, and you hit the nail on the head. Like, the pull rates of these second and third waves are just absolutely terrible. Like, it's like not even the same set that you opened up a few weeks before in your wave one stuff.
So bad.
Like, I can't even, to be honest with you, love Evolving Skies. Wish I could open more of it, but I refrain from buying any of it because I don't know if it's just my luck or if it's really the pull rates, but I literally pull nothing, like hardly even holos out of that set. And like, there is so many amazing cards you can pull in that set. It's like one of the biggest sets in the Sword and Shield era, has the most alternate arts, probably the most mm-hmm. ultra rare cards you can pull. And it feels absolutely nothing like that, nowhere near that anymore. And it's really starting to feel like that with a couple of the other sets too, like Brilliant Stars, nowhere near what the pull rates were when I first opened it up.
Fusion.
You know what else? Like, yeah, Fusion Strike as well. Yeah, that was, I was having a great time with it when it first came out. Was getting lots of the Mew. I never actually pulled any of the alternate arts, but was getting like Mew VMAXs and Gengars and VMAXs and stuff. There's some really popular cards, decent amount of money at the time too when they came out. But yeah, pull rates have just really seemed to have tanked a lot. And I mean, maybe that can be attributed to there are so many more Pokemon cards being printed now, mm-hmm. you know, than there used to be even at the beginning of the Sword and Shield era.
But you would think that they would go hand in hand, but it literally feels like they've adjusted at the factory.
I think so.
You know, it's almost like, yeah. Hey, we're going to turn up the knob on all the regular rares, you know, all of the yeah. non-foil cards, right? Because I would guess it's probably half the price to print a non-foil card than it is a foil card. So they're by far, you know, their profit margin on a pack that has a regular rare in it is probably twice the profit margin than a card that has a full art in it, just simply because of the ink and the foil and all that stuff, which...
Good point.
People might go, oh, no, that absolutely matters for the Pokemon company. Absolutely matters.
When they're printing billions of cards.
Correct. If they can change their profit margin by even one penny per card, or if they can change their profit margin by 5 cents per pack, you're talking millions of dollars. You're talking millions of dollars in profit. So, like, that kind of stuff really does matter. It really does feel like they just turned up the factory settings on the commons, uncommons, and regular rares. And they were just like, hey, you know, these full art, alternate arts, like, you know, just leave those the same as it was during the first print wave. So mm-hmm. that's why it just feels so bad in my thought. It's just so bad. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Continue, sir.
No, I honestly feel like that's probably exactly what happened. I mean, I don't feel like they think there's a slowdown coming, a big enough slowdown coming to where if they, you know, I don't feel like they need to print it like it's first wave every single time, because right. they know it's going to get bought. If they put that, you know, those one or two chase cards in there that they know everybody wants, it doesn't matter to them. They know people are going to buy it, even if they, you know, tank.
How
that
long
rate.
Though? How long? How long are they going to be able to get away with these terrible, terrible pull rates on these second, third, and fourth print runs? How long before people just get it
yeah.
before they go, nah, I'm going to open up Lost Origins, you know, during the first few weeks of release, and then I'm not going to go back, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would say we're starting to see that a little bit now.
Huge. I agree.
And I mean, it's going to be big, you know, into this next set as well. I think it's going to come up also.
Yeah. So I'm going to just lay it out right here, guys. If you are buying Lost Origins on its release week, open it up. Do yeah. not build your sealed collection on this first print wave. Don't. Because I guarantee you down the road, you know, 15, 20 years from now, when you have booster boxes of Lost Origins, people aren't going to be going, oh, is that first print wave or second print wave?
Yeah, I mean, there's really no way to tell. Yeah. There's no first editions or anything like that at all.
You know, there's going to be like, oh, well, the first three sealed digits of this is blah, 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 and then it's whatever. But, like,
if you want to get technical with it, I guess maybe you could probably do something like
so
that.
So if you look at the back of the pack, you know, if there's a little black dot on the very bottom right. left where the guy messed up, that's first print wave. So those are going to go for 20 times what the other ones are. That's Pokemon for you. That's collectors Seriously. For you, for real. So... I have a cough. I don't know why it's back now after it left for a couple weeks, but it's back. Yeah, I know. Sad times. Yeah. So that's really my thing right here. And the biggest thing that I want to talk about is what kind of effect do these pull rates have on new collectors? That's huge for me, right? So just picture this for a second. You're a brand new collector. Maybe not brand new. Maybe you're back for the first time in a long time. You saw all the hype in 2020, 2021. Maybe you're a new dad, right? You're 30, 35 years old, and you got your first kid or something like that, or your kid's finally turning 5 or 6, and now he's getting interested in Pokemon. So you're like, hey, I remember Pokemon. I'm going to go buy some stuff, right? So you go over to the card section. You grab, you know, a Astral Radiance ETB, which is now $45, $50 instead of $39.99. You grab yourself an Alolan Executor box at $22.99 instead of $19.99, and you spend about $80 on cards. And then you pull absolutely butt kiss, right? Every pack in that Astral Radiance ETB was a dud. You got one holographic card that brought back some nostalgic feels. And then you got a V. You got one V card, you know, that bolt-oned V that's worth an entire 18 cents. And... you know, the kids are just kind of like, yeah, these are kind of cool, and, you know, but is the kids might be satisfied with it, but is the grown-up who could potentially spend their money on the Pokemon TCG, like, rushing back to Target to go, this was a lot of fun, I need to buy some more, right? Or is it going to have the opposite effect, and they're going to go, I don't understand the hype of all this, because blah, blah, and blah, blah, there's just nothing here, I got nothing. And again, I said this earlier in the podcast, I'm going to say it again. I understand that money is not the end-all be-all in the Pokemon TCG, but if you give me one motivating factor that dominates over the rest, it's valuation of the cards. There's different collectors. There's people who play. There's people who love the artwork. There's people who just love Pokemon. There's people who are in it for nostalgic feels. Awesome. I get it. All of those combined probably make up 20 to 25% of the people that buy Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
The rest of them buy it because they think that it's a good investment, because they think that they will be able to maybe make some money back on it and then flip and buy some more. Like, I would say that the majority of people right now, that buy and sell Pokemon cards are doing it for valuations and how much they think the cards are going to be worth in the future or even right now. If you want to go back and say, if you want to contradict me on this, which I'm sure I'm going to get some people in the comment section, if you want to see what it looks like to only have true Pokemon fans and only people who play the TCG, welcome to 2015-16 Pokemon. That's my reply. Yeah. What are your thoughts on it? What do you think the new collector feels when they open something?
Yeah. I try to think back about my experience. I mean, that was my exact experience. I collected back in the day, came back to it in right at the beginning of the Sword and Shield era. And I mean, there was a lot that I had no clue about. You know, the last packs of Pokemon cards that I opened were probably like early Neo era packs.
Nice.
And those cards look, you know, way different now. So, you know, so much to learn in that. But yeah, I mean, I would say, if it was my first time, I went in and I spent $80 and literally got maybe $5 of cards out of it, you know, in terms of hits, like that would be completely, you know,
demoralizing,
discouraging. Yeah. Demoralizing, discouraging, you know, and it probably wouldn't make me want to go spend another $80. I can tell you that, you know, but, I mean, there's also like, if you're going to buy in some Pokemon cards, if you played it back in the day, you know, you collected back in the day, I mean, you also have to know, like, there is that factor, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it is, you know, essentially gambling a little bit, right? Absolutely. You're putting your money down to hope that you can get that Charizard. You know, so there is that. But yeah, you know, if it's like you said, if you're you know, buying cards for your kids or something like that, and you're trying to have like that kind of experience and it's a total dud, you know, that's, I mean, a kid's not going to be excited about that. It's, you know, if you can't get the kid excited about it, it's a total wash.
And believe it or not, the kids actually they actually understand when a card is worth something and when it's not. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think, oh, the kids are just going to play with the cards and put them in their mouth and chew on them. Like, obviously, the people who say that shit don't have kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the people who talk like that with the kids, they don't have kids. They don't. Because they know, they absolutely know what cards are worth a little bit and not a little bit. And it ranges. I have a five-year-old who knows. Does he understand the value of a dollar yet? No. But he understands when a card is worth something and when it's not. And now you can say, well, that's because he's your kid and that's things that you focus on. No, I focus on a lot of stuff. I have an entire binder full of cards that are worth about 35 cents a piece, but I built them and I love them because I used to collect them when I was a kid. So I'm not all about the money, but I do think it's the most powerful aspect of the trading card game that people don't talk about. Or I want to say it's taboo, right? It's not that people don't talk about it. A lot of people do talk about it, but some people just consider it taboo and they're just like, no, we don't talk about money here. We talk about how glorious the artwork is. We talk about we talk about how good, you know, that plays in the TCG and how well it feels when you pull it out of your deck and that nice dragon shield matted sleeve. You know,
heck yeah, that's what I talk about.
I know you're just
that's what gets me going. How that dragon shield feels pulling it out of the deck. There you go.
Yes, I've got nothing because it's a blank sleeve. But look at those, that look how awesome. You can't really tell because of light, but look how awesome these sleeves are, bro. These are the dragon shield,
in the live deal,
yeah, right? Man, these are the dragon shield brushed art sleeves. These are the Halloween special 2022. They sent me these for being a part of the affiliate program. And they are,
those look awesome.
I got Christmas ones too. The Christmas ones are even cooler, but they are amazing. They are really, really cool. Big suggestion. Hey, if you guys want your own dragon shield, link in description goes right to their website, affiliate link. I get a little kickback as well. Very much appreciated. Dragon shield sleeves. Anyway, off topic, let's get back. I'm concerned. And this is, and we'll go back to the printing right here. All right. We're going to talk about it right here. In business, in entertainment, in terms of numbers and success, a lot of times what happens is your biggest year financially actually comes from the work that you did the previous year, right? Yeah. So the perfect example is, I'm a big wrestling fan, right? So when WCW made it huge in 97 and started passing WWF, it's because of what they built in 96 and people got a hold of it, right? So the same kind of thing happened here. You notice the big, big boom came to Pokemon right after basically Hidden Fates had come out. Hidden Fates had come out and it was chocked full of very expensive cards, right? $1,000 shiny Charizard, hundreds of dollars for the Eeveelutions and the Mewtwo and the Cynthia, right? They were all very, very expensive for months. For months. Yeah. They're lower right now than they've ever been. They're at their floor prices. But for 6, 7, 8 months, you were able to go to Target, buy a $20 tin of Hidden Fates, and 9 out of 10 times, the cards inside were worth more than what you paid. And then there was that slight chance that you had $1,000 in your hand. That doesn't really exist right now, other than Evolving Skies. But the problem with Evolving Skies is you got to pull one of the top two or three cards to get that feeling that Hidden Fates had for 10, 11 cards, right?
Right.
So what happened is all that generated hype and financial hype around Hidden Fates brought all these new collectors and quote-unquote investors and business people into Pokemon in 2020, 2021 because of the success that Hidden Fates brought in 2019. So now let's turn the key. Let's turn the key and look at the other shoe, right? Let's look at the shoe on the other foot now. what is 2023 going to look like now that 2022 has completely full shelves and every card is worth $5? Like, what is it going to look like? What's it going to freaking look like, man? Like, they could be shooting themselves in the foot and not even know it right now. I'm a little worried.
It's tough to think about, you know, like what could come next, right? I mean, I'm sure they have literally a whole team that's all they do.
Absolutely.
At Pokemon Company is literally like, you know, what's tomorrow look like? What are we doing next year? What are we doing in 10 years?
Oh, they have a plan.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I want to know what it is.
I mean, it does feel like, you know, they do recycle a lot of things. I mean, we're getting the EX era back, the original EX era back. So that'll be interesting. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. I always feel like it's going to be kind of like an iteration of something that's already happened. You know, just kind of one step off of, you know, something that they've done in the past.
But let me ask you this. Has there ever been times like this before, right? And there was. There was a time around 2002, 2003, when you were able to find base set Pokemon, jungle Pokemon, fossil Pokemon, Neo Pokemon packs for pennies on the dollar because nobody wanted them anymore. They were Beanie Babies. They were freaking Beanie Babies, right? Yeah. Difference is Pokemon has been consistent with their video games and their anime, which has generated enough hype, especially with the international fan bases, to continue. And then we got this big resurgence. But, I mean, let's say you're walking into Target and Walmart in 12 months, August next year, right?
Yeah.
You walk in there and your shelves are still lined with Fusion Strike and Brilliant Stars and Astral Radiance because they printed so much of it, right? Yeah. They're still throwing Fusion Strike inside collection boxes for Scarlet and Violet set number 4, you know, and they're just flooded and stuff's going on clearance, and like Bolton and Pikachu boxes are already $15 online at Target. You can price match it. You can price match that.
Yeah.
All day in store. Like, how are those boxes going to look in 4 or 5 months? They're going to be selling Pikachu and Bolton boxes for $7. I'm telling you. Seriously.
Pick those boxes up. Those are some good boxes for $6-$7.
Dude. But
find those,
like, right now it is.
Throw them all in your cart.
Right now it is. But like, I mean, what if it continues down the same path that we're going in where these cards are not worth anything? And you know, I'm worried about my sealed collection a little bit. I really am for the new product. You know, that's why I try to go to the exclusivity stuff. You know, go get those GameStop Pikaron boxes. Go get those Walmart Reshazard boxes, the gold ones, because those are not going to be reprinted forever. Like, that's in the Pokemon Center exclusives, even though those have been available now forever now. Like, those never go out of print. Like, ever. They never sell out on the site. So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We're definitely, you know, on a bit of a downslope here, and it kind of, you know, seems like Pokemon does the roller coaster, you know, every 5 years, right?
Yep.
You know, it seems like hype kind of creeps back up there. So, yeah, I can't say that I think, you know, the next few years are going to be really, you know, time to, like, be selling your sealed collection. It's definitely a hold time.
Definitely,
you know,
a hold time.
You know,
it's a bear market for Pokemon, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Probably wouldn't be looking until 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
Back looking at selling.
There
know,
is
selling
still good stuff out there, stuff. Though, guys. There is still good stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just saying, if you're putting Pokemon investing stock inside of your Astral Radiance collection, your Fusion Strike collection, or your Brilliant Stars collection, you're probably not making the right decisions. You want to look at more stuff right now in the Black and White and X and Y era, maybe even the Sun and Moon era type stuff, because those are never going to be reprinted. Those are never going to come back. And there's already about a third of those on the market as there is for these new Sword and Shield things. So keep that in mind and make sure you subscribe to the channel, because we talk about Pokemon investing sometimes. We talk about undervalued cards, things you should be buying, sealed collections that you should keep an eye out for, sealed products. So make sure you guys drop a sub for that, because I will be able to at least steer you in a semi-decent direction in terms of what you should be collecting if you're looking at values, if you're looking at growth, if you want to, you know, try to grow your collection dollar-wise as well as just awesomeness-wise, I guess you can say. follow for that, because we're going to be doing a lot of that. But that is that's our episode for today, guys. We talked Radiant Pokemon. We talked, you know, all this printing and pricing and all these things, and what it's like to be a new collector in the Pokemon TCG right now. Really, really fun stuff. If you enjoyed the conversation, please drop a sub and smash that like button. Also, drop the big announcement of ASX joining the channel officially.
Yeah, super excited. It's going to be exciting starting, like you
next
said,
week?
It's already next
September,
week.
September. Starting in the month of September.
Time's flying.
Yep.
So it's going to be awesome. And I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but hope to be able to do some lives here
yes,
on the channel
heck yeah,
as well.
Man.
You know, so it's going to be awesome, guys. I'm super excited. I hope you guys all are too.
So if you're a subscriber to the channel, you know that we are live every single Friday here on TCG Funhouse live stream box break. This week, we're giving away a Lost Origins booster box during the live stream, an entire booster box, guys. An entire booster box is going to be going to one lucky person on the live stream. So make sure you guys come hang out with us. And yes, ASX is going to be trying to get his little butt in there and getting some live streams in of his own.
Heck yeah.
So just hanging and banging, man. Hanging and banging. It's what we do. Yeah. Again, if you're on the audio platforms, give us a 5-star review. Share with your Poke friends. If you're new to the channel, drop a sub, smash that like. It really, really helps. We also have channel memberships down below where you can support us moving forward. Now that we are a two-man team. ASX, one last thing before we get out of here.
It's been a long time since you asked me this. I didn't have anything prepared.
Bringing it back.
I know one thing.
If it's about Arcanine, I swear
excited.
To God.
I'm super excited about the Arcanine
card. God dang it, I knew it.
In Silver Tempest, it's only a non-holo, but dang, it's probably the best Sword and Shield artwork for Arcanine. So I had to get my Arcanine love in there today for this episode.
And this is why I quit asking.
You thought you were going to get away.
This is why I quit asking. Unbelievable. All right, guys. We'll see you guys next week. Have a wonderful night.